And there isn't a doctrine that is more weird, if you want to put it that way, than the virgin birth. We rightly rebuff worship of Mary, but she was a remarkable woman. And we'll see in a minute about her sincere belief in God and her understanding of scripture and what God's plan was for her. But it's interesting that God chose her. And I think it's easy to just think, you know, well, he chose her. Well, I think it's because there's something special about her. She had an understanding. She had a belief. It wasn't that he was just going through the land and just randomly said, well, she looks good. I'll choose Mary to be the mother of my son. But there was an understanding of her, and so when the angel approached her, she believed the angel. And this is not just a fanciful myth that comes along. But she had this belief that God was speaking to her. And the virgin birth is not something that somebody made up and somebody thought, well, that would be a good thing to have in a religious belief structure. It came from the mouth of the angel and from the heart of God. That was the only way that he could come to earth and not have a sin nature, because the sin nature is transmitted by the male, but to become fully God and fully man. And so if it wasn't for the virgin birth, Jesus would have come. He would have died on the cross, not to pay for our penalty, but to pay for his, because he would have been born with a sin nature. Some people say we're sinners because we sin. Well, it's the other way around. We sin because we're sinners. We have a sin nature. But Jesus came in because of the virgin birth, and that's why it's so important to our belief structure that we believe that Jesus was born of Mary, so he's fully human, but of the Holy Spirit, so that he was fully God at the same time, and that he's not transmitted through the sin of Joseph or through the sin nature by Joseph. He did not die for his sins, but he died for ours. And so when we get to what I call the Psalm of Mary, which is in Luke chapter 1. We've been going through the Psalms, so I thought, well, I'll just keep doing the Psalms. I'll just jump to one in the New Testament. Mary gives a response to the angel's calling of her and to her realization that God has chosen her to bear his son, and that because of that, she was most favored, is the phrase that is used there. And she took that very seriously, that call. And so she gives a response back to God, which shares with us her heart. I'll read it's called the Magnificat, and I'll read the full portion. Then we'll come back and look at it verse by verse. Luke chapter 1, verse 46. Starts, and Mary said, "My soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has had regard for the humble state of his bondslave. For behold, from this time on, generations will count me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is upon me generation after generation toward those who fear him. He has borne mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in the thoughts of their heart. He has brought down rulers from their thrones and has exalted those who are humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent away the rich empty-handed. He has given help to Israel, his servant, in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his descendants forever." So the first thing we see in here is that God, or that Mary, thanks God for favoring her. She saw this not as just a random act of God, but he had chosen her and he favored her. He said, "My soul exalts God." He chose a young woman who believed in God, And it's obvious that she was anticipating a savior. These words don't come from the lips of one who's ignorant of biblical teaching. When we think back to these days in Israel and to the religious structure that was going on there with the Sadducees and the Pharisees and all that was going on there, we think of it as being a male-dominated system, and it probably was. But here you have a young woman who has a deep understanding of God's plan for Israel, and who has a heart of believing in God and of willingness to listen to him and to respond when he calls her. So we think of it, you know, he just picked out an average woman, but here's an average woman who's well-versed in scripture. She's engaged to an average man. They call him a carpenter. We learned that he was probably more of a mason than a carpenter, but here's two people from Galilee who were not the bedrock of the religious system and where all the teaching took place, but she especially had this understanding of what God was wanting to in Israel. Even though they were just coming out of the 400 silent years where God had not had any more writings of scripture and all of that. And you come into this time and she's ready to listen. She knows, anticipates that God is there. And it says that, and she recognizes that God exalts her. One of the things that to note here, and that in this psalm, there's not a hint of her thinking that she was sinless. She sees herself as very human, very much a part of the human race, and because of that, a sinner. So the Mariology that's out there and the worship of Mary and all that, and thinking that she's sinless, that's not true. There's no fact and no hint in scripture that's true. She's a sinner just like we are, but God picked her out and chose her and put her in this special position. So she exalts the Lord, she worships him. She rejoices that God is her savior and that he chose her out of her humble state as her bond slave, and that she recognizes that because of the promise the angel made to her, that Jesus, the Son of God, would be born to her, that she would bless the world for generations, her offspring would bless the world for generations. Of her son, the angel said, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. So there's a recognition on her part that God was doing a great deal in her and through her. And this miraculous conception that had never happened in the world before and has not happened since then and will never happen again was something that she could trust that God would do because he had promised that he would do it, and he stated that he would do it. So there's in this very average woman, just this deep and sincere faith in God, and the willingness to and the ability to trust her. And so I'm kind of exalted by looking at Mary, not in terms of Mariology and worshiping her, but in terms of God's putting his hand on her and fulfilling his promises through her. Then it goes on to say that she prays God for, listen carefully, for biblical justice, for biblical justice. So in a world in that day when there was not much justice, she goes on to say, he has done mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who were proud in the thoughts of their heart. He has brought down rulers from their thrones and has exalted those who were humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent away the rich empty-handed. So he was dealing with the proud, the powerful, and the wealthy. And they lived in a world in which people, the average person, was put down, looked down upon, and felt they had no position anywhere. The proud, the powerful, and wealthy exploited the common person. Notice that the statements here, the verbs here, are all in the past tense. He has done mighty deeds. He has scattered. He has brought down. He has exalted. He has filled. He sent away. Those are all past tense. Not because those things had already taken place, because they hadn't. Jesus was the one he dealt with. And if you look through the pattern of his ministry, you see him dealing with the proud, the powerful, and the wealthy, and working on how those are taken care of and how those are put in their place, if you will, because God is dealing with that. And he looks out for those who he loves and those who he died for. But they're in the past tense because in her mind, they were as good as reality. The assurance that Jesus would take care of those was set. So they're put in the past tense. I think in technically they call that a future aorist or aoristic future or something like that. But you say it in the past because it's as good as done. So God will care for and protect his people. We would have been tempted, if we were to choose somebody to give birth to our child, is to choose a woman from the proud or the powerful or the wealthy. And Mary saw God choosing her as a repudiation of that social structure and that mindset that lifted up privileged people who were proud, powerful, and wealthy. And so, and even in the whole manger birth, the whole scene accentuates that, from being born in a manger, being born of common folks, having the shepherds come and visit. The wise men who come are not from their culture, not from their society, but from a foreign one. And so the religious rulers and the political rulers had no clue that the king of Israel had been born, to the point where when the wise men came and asked that question in Jerusalem, they didn't have a clue. And the religious leaders didn't know, but they could point to where they're going. So that the very, as we say in the hymn, the lowly birth points out the fact that God came not to be proud, the powerful, and the wealthy, but to care for those who were not that, and they lift those up who are not that. So much of Jesus' ministry actually is puts in place the dethroning of the proud and the powerful and the wealthy. Then he goes on to say that she exalts the name of God for fulfilling his promises. Verse 54, he's given help to Israel, his servant, in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his descendants forever. Mary recognizes that the Old Testament promises that are all through Scripture would be fulfilled in this coming child. That God, even in the book of Deuteronomy, he had said, if you disobey, that you will be sent away and God's presence will be lifted. But if you seek after me, then I will come and visit you. And that's just what is happening here. So you see in this birth story and in the early days of his life, you see common people whose heart are given to God and are expectantly waiting for his coming, from Elizabeth and her husband, with John the Baptist, from Anna. And what was the other guy? I didn't look it up, but the other guy in the temple, these people were anticipating. So there's a remnant of those who believe firmly that God was going to work among his people and still going to fulfill his promises, that he had not given up on his people. And Mary was one of those. And so when you see this, she says, he has given his help to Israel, his servant, in remembrance of his mercy. So he spoke to his to Abraham, and he said that through the seed of Abraham, all these promises would be made known. And it's wonderful that Mary had that faith and that trust in God. So, and I see I'm going to end really early. I was put on a little bit sooner than I thought I was going to be put on. So, but I want to read a song that all of you are very aware of. It's a recent carol, but it's one that I think is taking lasting significance. And it's Mary, Did You Know by Mark Lowry. I'm just going to read it because it I think it speaks to the heart of Mary and what was going on in her mind as she recognized God's work in her life and God's bringing her about. And as we go through the Christmas season, as we're together with maybe as much as we can be with family, and as we celebrate his birth, my prayer is that we would not lose sight of the fact that you know, the lowly birth in the manger, all the fal de rois that the world puts into it, the trees, the presents, the all of that. The bedrock of it and the thing that still comes back is that Jesus, that God sent his son to be born in the manger, to die on the cross so that we could have salvation. And for that, with Mary, we're thankful that he is working on her life. So I'm just going to read this song that she that Mark Lowry wrote, and it says, Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? I love this phrase. This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm the storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. Mary, did you know? The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again. The lame will walk, the dumb will speak the praises of the Lamb. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect Lamb? The sleeping child you're holding is the great I Am. Then after the birth, it says this phrase that I love. It says, Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. And I'm sure as she raised that baby into a boy and young man, and as she released him, she was astounded over and over again about God's work through her and God's work through her son to bring us salvation. Father, we thank you for the delight of being yours. We thank you for the delight of even a Christmas celebration that sometimes the world loses sight of all that's going on and all the importance of it. But it still comes back to, we know that you sent your son to bring salvation to the world, to fulfill your promises, not to just to Israel, but that Israel would be a means of blessing to the world. And we're a part of that blessing because we are able to experience the salvation that your son gave to us. And help us as we get together this week with friends, with family, with people that we can rejoice with, to make sure that we don't focus just on the gifts, just on the purchasing, just on the stuff that the society puts into it. But we'll be able to focus on the fact that you came fully God, fully man, to bring us salvation. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.